Exact Brawheads high-quality stainless steel brawheads at a great value. By working with manufacturers that get the highest quality materials and product at a great price. Rated the top 5 broadhead from Lust Archery Review in 2022-2023. Check them out today for less than $25 for a 3-pack of broadheads and use code BLADE23 for free shipping. And tell them from Brett from Blue River sent you. Desperado Custom Game Company, the one-stop place for everything hunting. Custom calls, profound deer sense, nicotine deer minerals, and land management. We make calls for all game, but specialize in turkey, locators, and deer. You may direct message us on Facebook to custom build any call directly to ensure gifts or your build is to your specs. We're the one place to grab everything hunting. Use promo code BLUERIVER15 at DesperadoGameCompany.com to receive 15% off your orders today. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Blue River Bow Hunting Podcast, episode 79, Spring Thunder. We're doing things a little different this episode. Dylan Albright from Tennessee is going to do some co-hosting with me, not just Spring Thunder, but when we bring deer stuff back. So it's going to be kind of a little bit different show than what you're used to, which I'm kind of ready for that. You know, it's me here every week talking with the guest and being on the Hoosier Backcountry podcast this past week, being with a group of guys kind of made me realize how much I kind of liked the group talk type of situation. I mean, there's going to be episodes where Dylan's not available and you'll get me kind of the same old show that you've got for 78 episodes. But Dylan, what's up, man? It's cool to start kind of co-hosting with you.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. I know as much as we talk, I think we'll flow pretty well with it.
I think so. I think people are going to underestimate how much we text during the day, but we pretty much text nonstop.
Yeah, it's wild. Like two conversations throughout the day, you know.
Right. But our guest this week is Brandon Townsend from Desperado Custom Game Company. What's going on, man?
How are y'all? Y'all doing okay?
Doing great, buddy. Doing great.
Enjoying the weather, the cold weather.
Drinking some beer, talking some turkey hunting with you guys. It's going to be a pretty good evening.
Oh, yeah.
But for somebody that doesn't know you, Brandon, introduce yourself a little bit.
Well, we're from Dalton, Georgia. It's about 25, 30 minutes south of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm the owner of Desperado Custom Game Company. We do a little bit of everything hunting besides clothing and stuff. We have a full lineup that we do, you know, pretty much from January to January and pertains to all seasons. We've been together for going on 5 years now. And let's see, I turned 30 this year. So it's that was kind of a step for me, you know, with everything. And then just made this my full-time gig, actually. So prior to this, I was in law enforcement for about 10 years. Started hunting, you know, at a young age with my dad and my grandfather, and just loved the sport and always wanted to do something with it. You know, that was something that I had a passion for, and I always was told, you know, if you enjoy something you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And I believe that that's coming true, even though after working a 9-to-5 and multiple types of, you know, avenues that I was doing at a younger age, we've ended up working a lot longer when you work for yourself. So it's enjoyable, man. I've had a blast with it, and I love meeting all the people.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I can't imagine you know, having something like that. You know, obviously you're doing something that you're passionate about, but you know, like I every time I seem like I talk to you on the phone, it's like, hey, what's going on, man? I'm in the shop hitting the lathe. You know, it seems like you've been super busy. I know, especially with you know, with turkey calls and turkey season getting ready to come up, and then with your deer mineral stuff, you're really pumping that stuff out too. So it sounds like you're a super busy man.
Yeah, it's been a different year this year. We've got some new machinery and stuff that's allowed us to quit working as hard and just to, you know, allow more products and stuff to go out. And I've got a couple of guys that they're the backbone here. They really push everything and make everything a lot better, and it makes me not have to turn around as much on lathe and make sure everything's going right.
Right. How did you get started in call making? Like, what did it just one day? It's like, hey, I want to make some turkey calls, or I want to make a duck call, or this and that. Like, what really? How did the light bulb go off on that kind of stuff?
Man, I've done woodwork since in, about high school. Just working, just trying to make, as much money as you could, not trying to, didn't know really what I wanted to do as far as everything. And then I got a lathe from a buddy of mine for $40 is what I get for the lathe. And it sat out here in the shop for, 6 months. And my wife, she was about to start school, and her schooling was going to require her to be, she was going to do what was called clinicals and stuff. So she's going to be out of work, and it was just me. And, I'm a deputy sheriff salary, man, that's pretty rough. So I told her, I looked at her, we were standing in the kitchen, and I said, we'll go out here and make a turkey or a duck call or something, on this lathe. And she's like, well, go do it. And so I did. And I'm going to tell you, the first one was horrible. It was, I don't know of any duck that would, sound like that, but, a little persistence. And a few days it went by, and I got done with a couple of them and posted them on my Facebook. Desperado wasn't even a thing at the time. Mm-hmm. And once I posted them, they sold in a matter of minutes. And I was like, hey, kind of a light bulb going off. We can do this a little bit more often. And me and my buddy Logan, we was out here turning some stuff. And, it just continued. It just grew. And people would start messaging us, wanting more and more. And that kind of, kick-started things off with, the calls.
Now, did you see when you started that? Did you kind of see that possibly taking off to be an avenue of revenue, or was you just making them kind of as like a you love the hunting and you had access to it type deal?
The source of it was, I guess you could say, the main strategy there was with her being out of work. I was going to try to supplement some type of income for the family. And I've always played music and stuff and played on the weekends and done fairly well with it, but wanted something a little bit more consistent. Maybe I had control of and, enjoyed. And man, it got to the point where it was, two or three calls a week to, when duck season ended, I feared a turkey call. You can ask my wife. I saw them things and I was intimidated. I said, there ain't no way I could do that. And I looked at those strikers. I said, man, there's just no way I can sit there and turn something down that skinny. And that's just the truth. I was not confident in that. And that's fast forward a couple of weeks and I tried it, and boy, my first turkey calls sure were something. they were bad.
That's awesome.
But, just a lot of hard work and persistence.
Yeah. You were telling me about how you kind of had a mentor in it a little bit. Like, anybody can make some stuff. Anybody can make a loud call, and to really grind it out and hone in and really specialize in that sort of thing. Talk a little bit about that guy.
Yeah. So, I figured out a little bit on how the basic of a pot call worked, and got it to where it was sounding somewhat decent, I guess you could say. And, I'd hammer down on that thing. I'd sit there and I'd make that thing just yelp. And I was like, man, I'm making turkey calls. I'm the next big thing, and it's funny. The guy that I'm talking about, his name is Bill, and I know he's going to listen to this. It's Bill Smitherman. He's a really good friend of mine and somebody I look up to highly. He's helped me more than anybody as far as an ear. He's got one extensive turkey call collection. I'm gonna have to get him to talk with y'all. He knows more about turkeys and turkey calls and conservation on that aspect than anybody I know. And he, just the start of our relationship was so rocky, and that'll be for another moment in this episode here. But he had contacted my page because I had started the Desperado page, and I had known him from that prior encounter, and he got some of my calls, and he actually, I think he bought like the third through about the sixth call that I released in the early calls. And he got them, and he was like, these sound good. He said, there's something I want to tell you. And he said, you know, anybody out here can make something loud and, you know, sound like a turkey and be proud, I guess you could say. He said, but it's the quiet and it's the ones that have the tone and stuff like that. That's the ones you got to worry about. He said, and that's the ones, you know, you want to obligate your sound to.
Right. Desperado itself, how did you kind of come up with that name? How did that start? How did you put your page together and decide what you were going to be called?
Well, me and my buddy Logan, we was the ones that started it. And Logan, he worked with me at the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here and it was in the middle of all this duck call stuff and we was turning stuff. And it was 2020, so, you know, TikTok was heavy. Everybody was, especially with COVID and stuff like that. And man, we're sitting there, we'd come up with some of the just lamest names, and I hate anything generic, that run of the mill, you know, type names. And man, we probably went through 100 of them, you know, just sitting there. We got plumb silly with it. That's how just tired of it we were. And man, we sitting back and he was turning something on a lathe, and I turned TikTok on, that Desperado trend that was going on, that was like that slowed remix of Rhiannon's Desperado thing came on, and I looked at him and I said, Desperado Game Calls. And he said, man, I like it. And I was like, man, I said, you know, we talked about wanting to be different. We talked about wanting to be, you know, just a little bit better and kind of stand aside from the rest. And I said, you know, Desperado and Outlaw, it's what they are. So that's kind of the theme and how it, you know, came to be. And it just kind of rolled from there. And man, the next day I had that logo and everything kind of swimming around. And it was initially Desperado Game Calls. We wasn't Desperado Custom Game Company. And once we extended, you know, past calls and stuff like that, that's when we had to change it. But that's how it came to be, off of a TikTok trend. And it kind of stuck, and, you know, that's what we were going to stick with.
TikTok seems to be a place, you know, a lot of people are meeting nowadays in the outdoor industry. Like me and Dylan, you know, we met through TikTok. A lot of these guests that I've had have been through TikTok. Talk about that, Dylan. Like, it's crazy how you can meet somebody off TikTok and now you're really good buddies with them. You know what I mean?
It really is, considering TikTok is so against, like, you know, hunting or the gun stuff. Like, if it flashes a gun in the video, you know, they'll take it down. Or if it shows a dead animal, they pull it. So to be able to pump content out that gets views with any of the hunting, you know, hashtags, you have to be hitting a target, you know? So like, somebody's seeing it. And luckily for us, your turkey stuff came across my page. And I was laying, it was like late one night, I think, and I was watching TikTok, and then it went from TikTok to YouTube, and I watched all your stuff. And one of the podcasts, you were talking about like traveling, and like, if anybody hits me up, you know, I'll travel. I won't say no. So that's when I shot the message. I was like, hey man, I got plenty of birds and plenty of spots, so come on down. And from that day, we just, man, we put it into action, and we've talked every day. And dude, you know how my hunt, like, even through hunting season, it was like, hey, did you have, you know, a good day? What'd you see? Right. I knew you missed a deer probably before a lot of people did, you know. But so it's just, it's funny how somebody can have a general interest that you do, and it just flashes. Because the way your content was kind of what I envisioned, like, if I was pumping content out like that, like how I would want it to be. So, you know, I see some that I'm like, oh, you know, that's kind of rough to watch. But there's some that I just, you know, I can relate to.
That's awesome. Yeah, you just had to mention me missing a deer, didn't you? I don't hear that enough from everybody else. I got to hear from you.
Well, I just
too.
Heard it on the podcast that you were just on, too, you know. But, you know, like, when you're supposed to come down for the velvet, and like, we ended up not even hunting but the one day, and then we got the big one, you know, you checked in on me. Each, you know, it's just one of those things. When you got buddies chasing big deer or a lot of turkey, you're just checking in on them because you kind of live through them if you're not in the woods.
Right. And then Brandon I talked to Brandon the other day on the phone, and he sends me an invite to Georgia. I'm like, man, if you'd have told me that like 6 months ago, I probably could have figured it out. But my turkey season's pretty booked up.
Which, yeah, we got ours. Yeah, we got ours planned out probably last minute, because I was like, man, this is when our season opens. He's like, well, I'm West Virginia the next weekend. I was like, well, opening weekend, you're wide open then, so let's go. And I was hoping he did it, and then when he sent me the confirmation of the Airbnb, I was like, oh, we're in business now.
Absolutely. You know, a question that I normally start with on this podcast, you know, how you got into hunting, you know, but we're doing Spring Thunder, so I'll ask you, Brandon, how exactly did you get into turkey hunting?
Well, I guess it all kind of follows suit. You know, you hunt one thing and you kind of adventure off into the challenge of hunting other game. You know, it's, I wouldn't say any type of hunting that you do consistently gets mundane, but you know, it can definitely get you curious. And I didn't start turkey hunting until I was probably in high school. My dad never was a big turkey hunter as far as, he had a few mouth calls, but we never went. He always said it was dangerous. And then my grandpa, he never turkey hunted. But me and a buddy of mine, Cole, we got together right there at high school, and we decided that we was going to go turkey hunting. I went to Walmart and grabbed a few things and watched a few videos, you know, and knew the concept. But we got out, and we didn't do so good, but we learned, and, you know, it came to be a really addictive sport. It's a mind game with these birds.
You know, I feel like turkey hunting, when you first get into it, can be a hell of a lot different than deer hunting when you first get into it. Deer hunting, you're kind of setting a stand, you're sitting there, you're not moving. Can be a lot of luck of the draw a little bit on deer. Turkey is like the complete opposite. If you don't know what you're doing, or don't really have an idea what you're doing, or that sort of thing, or, you know, you're not used to calling and that sort of stuff, you can get your butt whipped real quick on some long beards.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the time, all we had was public land.
I think that's a Southern thing, too. Like, you know, you're right. I'm 31. You're right there with me. We didn't have a huge population around here for, like, my dad to hunt. So I think like all of his buddies never really turkey hunted. I think that was kind of like the population kind of really blew up as we were old enough to venture out on our own. And then, you know, of course, if you can go do something by yourself around that age, you're going to do it. And, you know, we were like you, we didn't see many, but we were out there and we were chasing them like we were seeing them every single time we went. So I think that's pretty cool that like, cause you're not that far from us. You're probably what, an hour, 30 minutes.
Yeah, hour and a half, 2 hours from you.
So, yeah, that's pretty relatable, you know, as close as we are. Now, when you was grow, like, when you started, was the turkey population as thick as it is now?
No, for sure not. You know, we didn't hear a gobble, I don't think, for the first year and a year or two that we was out turkey hunting, but I'll never forget that first one. Oh, you know, yeah. That was kind of when we was honing in on stuff and learning, which I know Cole and his family, his dad and all them, they've turkey hunted and stuff. And I was kind of just apprenticing with him and, you know, just trying to, you know, learn. And, man, we was on a public land hunt where we was going. And, man, we got there. It was like 9:30. It was just piss pouring rain all morning. And we was like, let's just go. You know, you're teenagers, what else are you going to do? And we sat down, and I'll never forget, we'd sat there and we was playing some calls, and it kind of, you know, lightened up a little bit. And, man, we probably had sit there for like 30 minutes, and we had moved spots from the place we had been hunting before. And, man, I'm yelping on this slate call I had. Man, at 150 yards, he struck, and I'm telling you, it's been probably 14, 15 years from then, but I won't ever forget that. It's like he was just yelling at us and in our face, and my eyes told the story. Me and Cole just looked at each other, and we're like, oh, man, this is really happening. We can do this.
We all know that look very, very well. You know, man. I can't wait to see, or I can't wait for Dylan to see the look on my face when that first one hammers, because that's my first trip of the year, and I always get like super geeked up the first hunt. You know, it's like I'm not gonna sleep the night before, and then, you know, you're just like so, you know, anticipated for that first gobble. When he fires off, I'll be shaking like a leaf, man.
Oh yeah, there might as well be a 200-inch deer standing there. Right. That little foot and a half bird standing there with a pea brain, he's making you shake like, you know, a coping young buck.
Right. Oh, absolutely, man. And it's crazy how a bird can pump you up, you know, that much, or, you know, like one slips in on you, like that big 200, he comes in behind you because he's smart. Oh, yeah. Dang, he got me on this one. And I sent Brett this clip. I can't remember it word for word, but he was like, you know, I hunt as if that bird had a gun too, because if he sees me first, I'm dead. So, like, right. I mean, that's a good way to think about it, because, like, you really sit still, right, and you'd work it and think about that. But, yeah, it's wild. I know here it's pretty mountainous. I know in Georgia it starts to flatten out, but I think you're still in kind of the mountainous side of it, right?
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of big mountains. Well, I mean, I think just, you know, south of you, you've got the Cherokee National Forest. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Cherokee joins our Cahuta Wilderness, which is grassy mountain, big frog, and all that.
Okay.
And it's still some really, really adventurous mountains. It goes for miles. I think the wilderness itself that we have here is around 95,000 acres.
Wow. Ooh. Yeah, so I'd say we're hunting about the same terrain, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's
– what about public, sure, public versus private sort of thing? I know – when we talked on the phone the other day, you said you were going to go put some boots on the ground on some public land. Are you mostly hunting public, or do you got some private spots too?
I got a bunch of private spots. I got a few, you know, that is produced always, you know, really well. In fact, that public land that we went to Sunday, like I was telling Dylan, I guess before we really got started, me and John went up there, and we ended up walking about 2.5 miles from the vehicle, you know, out and then back. So about 5 miles altogether, but it was the same spot that me and Cole went, you know, 10, 15 years ago when we started this. And I was telling him, I said, man, I said, I hadn't been up here really since, you know, that long and stuff. And we got out of the Jeep, and I mean, you're in public land. That's the best way to describe it, you know, as well as I do, but we're in these mountains, like Dylan's saying, I'm following logging roads, and man, we walked, and we'd call about every, you know, 750 yards, and it had a lot of rain that morning. And, you know, I was like, well, maybe this just, you know, it's been colder, they're not going to talk and stuff. And we got towards the end, we had to cross the creek, and John ended up wanting to go swimming in the creek. So we didn't walk much further. So we turned around, and man, we got probably a mile. It was, I believe that's where I mapped it on Hunt Stand, it was about exactly 1 mile from the truck. And when we turned a corner, there was a gobbler in the road, and nice. I think we saw each other at the same time, and he kind of swooped down into the valley there. It was steep, and I looked at John and I said, hey, we're on them. This is where I thought, you know, they was roosting. And it's the same thing from, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And I said, hey, I said, that's one bird we knows here. And I said, I still think it's a little early, but you know, it was promising, especially with, you know, being public land. And man, a lot of people have ruined public land for a lot of hunters, you know, with trashing it and, you know, not taking care of it, and taking advantage of what we have and what we're, you know, blessed to have as far as what, you know, the states have allowed us to utilize for it. And I don't know how much longer we may have, you know, as much as we do, but, you know, we gotta take care of it.
When's y'all season come in?
That'll be the last day of March.
Last day of March. So you're coming up pretty quick on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're at, what, 10, 11 days? I think today's 19.
Yeah, and that, you beat us by like 14.
I'm going to say, but you said that in Tennessee, yours was about the same prior to them moving your season back, right?
Yeah, it used to always open on like Easter weekend, and then juvenile was the weekend before. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was beautiful to hunt because there was no foliage on the trees. You could see as far as, you know, and for us, we always cut these long strut zones in. So, I mean, you're looking 250 yards down the trail. So, I mean, we were watching them pitch straight down and then just working straight to us. Now, with all the foliage, you know, it kind of does change their patterns just a tad bit. They may pitch out into the fields instead of hitting the woods first because of that low light or, you know, what have you. So it kind of – and they did it – last year was the first year that it changed. And, they did it, I think, because numbers were low. So I don't know if they thought that, you know, less birds would get killed. But actually, I think last year was a record year. So I don't know if it backfired on them. Or, you know, I was telling him earlier, I was like, I don't know if people were shooting them before season and then tagging them out, you know, on opening day, because I know last year, 2 weeks before season, they were fired up. I mean, you could honk a horn if you seen one in the field and they were just gobbling their heads off. So it was tough. And my little ones aren't old enough to hunt juvenile yet, because they have to be 6 to 16 to hunt. But now by the law, she can hunt, just not on juvenile. So I can like put her in on a gun sling or a tripod, mm-hmm. and then, you know, her do it like that. But for juvenile, it's just 6 through 16. So it kind of, we have to hold off. But yeah, man, it's got me, you know, we roll out a deer into duck. Me and Brandon's talked about that. Like, once duck season opens, we're done deer hunting. We're after the ducks. but you know, the same thing with that though, before duck's over, you're rolling into turkey, and then you have that small, you know, gap in the season. And, you know, me and you've been talking so much. I'm pumped up for deer already. I'm trying to make it through turkey. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where it's a never ending cycle of what you can do or what you're looking forward to.
Yeah. What about bag limits for Georgia? How many birds can you take in Georgia?
Man, that's been a huge controversy the last couple of years, and I have a good peace of mind on this. You know, we've, for as long as I have hunted, and I know it's been different, but as long as I have been hunting turkeys, we've had a three gobbler limit, and that three gobbler limit was, you know, season long and stuff. And I don't want to say it wrong, but sometime in the last couple of years, they changed it to two gobbler limit, and you can only kill one gobbler a day.
That sounds like about like your setup too, right, Dylan? Because you guys could shoot four at one time.
Yeah, it went from four, one per day, then it dropped to three, one per day, and now we're down to two. But I was telling Brett, you know, when it was four at the season, man, I was hunting from start to finish because you had to work for four, you know, like those birds were getting, you know, a good amount of pressure on them. Then it dropped to three, and the way we do our farms is we rotate them. So like we were rocking and rolling. Then they dropped it to two, and since it's been at two, we've been done the second weekend every year. So it's kind of like it's nice to get that tag, that last tag filled, but then you're like, shit, you know, I'm tagged out. And it's only been a week, and now I've got to wait a whole year for it. Like, and then we also had a fall turkey season, and you were allowed a hen a couple years ago. Then they took that away. So now it's just a, you know, fall season for one bearded turkey, which we used to thin out the hens a little bit when it was, you know, you was legally allowed to do that because, you know, they say predators get them, whatever. Man, I seen four toms the other day with probably 60 hens. And damn. I'm like, oh, man, I miss being able to thin those out. But, you know, it is what it is. And we're not complaining. We're still doing good. But I'm just hoping they don't drop it to one bird, because my fiance will kill me if I have to start traveling more than I already
do. I'll say, you guys are spoiled, because I've only ever had a one bird limit. I mean, when I hunted Kentucky years ago, I was able to shoot two down there. I think I only did that like once or twice. But I, you know, you guys have been so spoiled because where you guys are at, there's so many turkeys. The turkey hunting tradition is just so big. Where I'm at, it's just, that's not a thing. But I get the deer hunting side of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. My deer hunting is just so rich in heritage around here. And we grow really, really, really big deer around here. Not saying that you guys don't, but our Midwest cornfield deer are a little bit different than those Southern deer.
Yeah, big crops too, stuff like that definitely help.
Mm-hmm. the past farm that I had was on the it was a crop farm, and me and the owner got to be really good friends. Man, that was totally a different aspect of hunting for me. You know, I've always hunted these ridges and these mountains, and I'm gonna tell you right now, if you can kill a mountain buck, you're a deer hunter.
For sure.
I mean, these mountain bucks they're a different animal. They'll be in places that you just, you know, you wouldn't ever imagine. And, you know, to go into this farm that, you know, I got in with, we're talking, you know, 200 acre farm with corn and, you know, all this, and there may be 10 acres of you know, tree coverage throughout, and it's in very small pockets. And, you know, to learn how to go in there and crop, you know, hunt these deer and then transfer that over even into turkeys, that was a different animal.
I bet, because that's all I'm used to hunting is ag, you know, and where I'm at, it's just super flat, and I don't really have that much woods. It's basically all ag with patch woods, and I'm sure turkey hunting would be the same if we had that many birds around here, but I'm used to that ag, so I would probably be a lost puppy in a mountain setting when it comes to deer hunting. I probably wouldn't even know where to start.
Just look for the acorns.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was telling Brett on a podcast that we had planted a bunch of corn, and we stagger our corn so we have it in different growth stages. Man, as soon as those acorns started falling, no deer in that corn.
They're out.
Yep. They were all in the acorns, yeah. And it's wild. And we have six big oaks in like probably a 40 area. I mean, you'll roll your ankle walking through there. And dude, 2 weeks, every one of them gone. And we had good deer this year too.
Good question for you, maybe even you, Brett. How was y'all's acorn crop this year?
Go ahead, bud.
Mine was plentiful. We had a ton, and they started falling early. I've got videos of us, I mean, just videos of us riding the side by side and then shooting out from under the tire.
Yeah, we had a pretty good acorn harvest as well. I can remember there's a certain tree that I sit in my Hancock County property. And I think even in early season, early October, when I was filming up there, you can hear the acorns dropping around me in one of the videos that we did. I don't think that one ever hit YouTube or not, but you can just hear them like raining out of the trees. I mean, we have a pretty good oaks here in Indiana. That's never something that we really lack in is acorns.
No.
What about learning to call when it came to turkey hunting? Was it something that you know, kind of a steep thing that you had to overcome, or was it pretty natural to you right off the bat?
And I know this is going to sound weird, but this goes into a big aspect of what I do. I've been a musician for a long time. Mm-hmm. I play every instrument, but piano. I can't play it, but you know, being able to kind of play the drums and being that, you know, articulate with stuff, it was something, you know, I feel like my motor skill function was pretty decent. If I can mimic something, and that's the way I do guitar, if I hear it, you know, I'll play it right back to you and whatnot. And somebody was playing, you know, slate call and stuff, and I'd go right back to it. But I guess, you know, the ability to do it and understand what you're doing was more or less challenge, you know, and understanding the vocalizations and such, that was the learning point, you know, necessarily, you know, the learning on how to call, the mouth call. Now that was pretty rough, but you know, I got it. But you know, just learning turkey communication and vocalization, and you know, not just in Easterns, but you know, Merriam's and all that, and how they may vary, and you know, the tones and stuff they have, you know. And I know that's kind of skipping ahead about like what we do now, but you know, that it's been an evolution of, you know, we just had to listen, you know, and I tried to always just listen to birds and always try to mimic it, you know, and then understand what they was doing. And that turkey hunters, and especially younger turkey hunters, you know, they'll grab any call they can, and they go out there and hit some yelps, and you know, that's all they know how to do. They don't understand, you know, your morning clucks and stuff like that, and right, kind of the sequence that these turkeys have. And that's hard for, you know, a lot of the newer generation, but it's something that definitely needs to be taught. And we try to, as a business and all of our, you know, group here, we try to, you know, pass that down.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest tips I think I've gave going into this turkey season, because some of our guys that is on my team don't have a lot of turkey hunting experience, so they're asking questions. And when your calls came into the shop, you know, not that long ago, everybody was over. We were talking a lot of turkey hunting, and a couple of them were like, well, how exactly do you call? And, you know, we showed them a few calls and whatnot and a few sequences. And I told them, I said, the first few times that you're in a turkey woods, I said, don't even call. I said, sit there and listen. I want you to listen. You know, I don't need you to know how to yelp or kiki or do any of this stuff. Listen and listen to what they are doing. Listen to the language of them. And it's almost like feeling out a big buck when he's coming in. You look at his posture, that sort of thing. Same thing when it comes to long beers. I mean, you gotta fill them out. You just can't go in there screaming hot because it ain't gonna work out for you.
No. Yeah, you've definitely, you know, everybody likes to hear that gobble, you know, and
for sure.
I always tell a lot of the younger guys, that, especially, you know, we get a lot of people that's never really had turkey calls, and they just like to see some of our calls. I mean, they like the way they look or, you know, stuff. They don't really understand the sound of them, and we try to make good sounding calls look good, not just good looking calls, you know, or they're out there. We've took apart what we want to hear, and then, you know, we try to make it, you know, snazz it up a little bit or something, you know, and people want to hear that gobble and all that, and they think, you know, I'm going to go out here and just yelp him to death and everything. The first thing I used to say, man, you slam that car door hard enough, he's going to gobble.
Oh, it's happened before.
You know, it don't take much. They're tore up, you know. I've had it happen a million times, but, you know, understand the language, you know. Don't just listen to that gobble. You need to open your ears and listen for them hens. Especially in the fall down here, Dylan, you probably hear, you know, a lot of good mountain hen talk in the fall. For some reason, they stay extremely vocal down here in the fall, and you know, just got to listen. And I tell them all, you know.
Or, you know, some people will jump the gun if a bird's gobbling and he just shuts up. They'll just hit him real hard, real hard, real hard, trying to get him to respond. A lot of times that bird's probably on his way in, and he's going to cover some ground. He's going to cover it quick. Then he's going to stop, put on a show. He'll gobble. So I think, you know, I really try to listen to if a bird sounds like he's a long ways away and he goes quiet, I'll let him, like, yell for me. I'm going to let him call for me, and then I'm going to see if he's covered any ground because, you know, if a bird's facing you and gobbles, he's going to sound a lot closer than if he's spitting and drumming and he's spinning and he's gobbling away from you. So
yeah.
I demand patience for me is just something I still try to like. I have to, every time I hunt, I have to tell myself, just wait, man, just it'll be okay. He don't have to gobble. He could still be interested. And with a good call, it's even harder to hold yourself back because you're like, oh, he can't resist this.
Yeah. I've always been told, you know, if he's not gobbling, he's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be moving away from you, but he's moving. And, you know, give that bird opportunity. If he's gobbling and he's coming in on a string, you know, that's one thing. But just like you're saying, you know, with that mysterious bird, the one that we always have that's hung up somewhere, you know, just been around for all these people and all these kids out here with these calls and stuff, you know, they know, you know, they know exactly what sequences have been played 100 times. And, you know, everybody likes to go to that typical 5-stroke yelp and stuff like that. And, you know, you got to hit him with a little something different. But the most important thing you can do is, and I tell people, you know, you may get a custom call from me of any sort. Some of the best advice I can tell you is put it down.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to do something.
They kind of, it's like a barber telling somebody you don't need a haircut. You know, that's just, it kind of defeats the purpose, you know. But I tell them, you know, sometimes the most important things you can do is just don't call. Just be quiet. Yeah. You know, listen, get him, you know, get his interest.
Well, sometimes, like, we'll have a bird hang up and, you know, our first instinct is to throw a different call in. Or, you know, I'll hit a call, my buddy's 10 feet from me, and we'll, you know, work back and forth. Is that something you keep? I mean, obviously, you make your call, so is that something you keep a few loaded in your vest so way you can switch it up on them?
Oh, man. can't be giving all my secrets here, but I will. So I've got a sequence that I have done for years, and it has worked great. And I carry 3 calls on me. I carry an acrylic glass that I made, and I carry a wood slate that I made, and I carry a mouth call. I used to do mouth calls. I shake too bad. I can't do them anymore. And I didn't want to fool with them. And I used to carry a mouth call. And I would always just do this sequence. You know, I'd always have just this really consistent luck. It never would fail. Man, I had such a good thing going 2 years ago. I had people buying calls and they'd say, you know, man, I ain't really ever turkey hunted. You know, I don't really know how to call. Could you maybe, you know, show me or come hunt and, you know, all that? And I'm like, yeah, man, I love it. That's my favorite thing. Like, I don't care if I have a gun or not, you know, let me call that bird into you. But, you know, I tell them, I'm like, this ain't going to be just some normal turkey hunt. I want that bird 5 yards. I mean, I like to see as close as I can get them. And I would do this sequence, you know, but, you know, if I had that situation where that gobbler didn't want to behave, you know, I've got a sequence and then you kind of got to pull something out. And, you know, something that worked for me the best was, you know, if I know he's close and he's hung up, I usually start with my glass, you know, and then as he gets closer, just like Bill had told me before, you know, anybody can play that loud call. You need to be quiet. You need to let that bird kind of be curious. You need to let him kind of think he's not in control here and all that. And, you know, I'll hit, you know, some soft stuff on that slate and just absolutely just, I'm talking soft, so soft, you know, 50 yards, you may not hear it. But I'm going to rip loose a gobble or three on that mouth call all of a sudden. And then it's going to be on because I'll check that slate and I'll start doing the just fight and purr sequence that I do. And I'll gobble and I'm hitting that fight and purr. And I'll say, you know, a good 6-7 times out of 10, that's something that's worked for me and worked for, you know, others that, you know, I've been, you know, calling for and stuff. And we've not really ever had, but, you know, a few just birds that just, I don't know what they did. I don't know if they got abducted or what, but they just disappeared. But that seems to work for me really well. And it seems to get that bird, you know, that's something that, you know, when they, like you're saying, you know, if somebody has a bird that's hanging up, they want to just keep calling and trying mm-hmm. to make him react. If you just go to a completely different scenario from, hey, we had some hens here and now we've got a gobbler here and we got some yeah. fighting spurs going on. Man, that throws a whole different loop in the ball game there. And I'm telling you, if he don't come in then, you might as well pack your stuff up and just forget that bird and go find you another one because, man, it's worked for me really well.
Yeah, I would say even with a sequence like that, you may pull another bird in that you didn't even know was there. A bird yeah. that maybe yeah. isn't vocal. He's just kind of mm-hmm. hanging out. Maybe he got pushed off the flock by the big bird. You know, he's kind of just hanging around, maybe out in the field eating or something like that. And all of a sudden, when you did that, he's like, oh, shit, I want to check this out. Who's fighting over here, you know? And then he's yeah. in gun range, yeah, you know real. What I mean? It works like that a lot.
Yeah, I've actually had that. We were set up on this ridge, right, and there was two valleys like off to both sides. So I hit the call on one gobble to the left, and when he would gobble, one to the right, and a whole different field would gobble. And each time they were getting closer, and my buddy was like, hey, he's coming. And I was like, this one is too. I was like, let's just both, you know, just watch down these little draws. And, man, it was like 8 minutes later, he's like, hey, he's 15 yards. What do you want me to do? And the other one was coming too. And I was like, if he gets – acting weird, go ahead and shoot him, you know. And he was like, all right, yeah, man, he's at like 10 yards, I'm gonna have to shoot him. He shot him, and that other bird had made it to like 45, but he was through some thick stuff, and I had seen him turn at that point and walk away. But once they started gobbling to each other, we were like, this something's fixing to die. And that's what they did, man. It was kind of like that. Yeah. That bird is what brought the other bird in, because they were coming in to who could get to the hen first. So yeah, that's, you know, and that goes back to what you're saying, just getting in there and just listening to what's going on, because it'll tell you, it's an open book.
Yeah, how can you go in and turkey call somewhere or in general if you don't know what you're saying? What you're saying to uh-huh. them or communicating with them? It's kind of like, I don't know if me and you have talked about it before, Dylan, or me and Brandon, but duck calling. You ain't just going to go in there and start screaming at these ducks, because you're going to make every single one of them flare off. You got to mm-hmm. talk sweet to them, man. I mean, you got to talk their language a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
I believe less is more a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to any of these, you know, it's just be different, you know, and be, you know, especially in these situations, you know, and I hate to even, but I mean, if you see a stack of birds on the side of the road and, you know, and you're not trespassing and stuff, you know, hey, stop, listen what's going on, listen to some vocalizations, you know, listen to how these hens, especially boss hens, man. Boss hens gets on my nerves. I'll tell you right now. There's not turkey calls out there good enough that anybody can make that, you know, can get that bearded, I call them bearded boss hens. But, man, them boss hens, man, that's the reason why they call the boss. They know that pecking order, and, you know, that's just something that's naturally happens, and you can't defy that. That's nature. Yeah. You know, you may can trick some birds and stuff, but when that boss hen comes through, you usually know it, and you usually watch them walk off.
Yeah, absolutely. What about traditions? Do you and your buddies, or you and your family, have any kind of traditions throughout turkey season or opener or anything like that?
Well, man, since I've been doing this, it seems like all the hunting that I had, you know, wanted to do has diminished. I got to deer hunt a little more this past year, which was great. You know, we do scents and all that. So it seems like every season, you know, we're doing something, and it's going crazy and hectic. But, you know, pre-planning this year and last year, we had a good grasp on things. We was so busy. And then this year, we've already got, you know, a full, you know, ahead of stuff. So, you know, this year I got to actually go scout for a day. That was different. You know, usually it was the night before or two nights before, and you usually know where they're at, and you just get close and hope they come. But, you know, usually, you know, we'd try to spend, you know, 5-7 days out of the month before and try to locate, you know, good areas and, you know, roost and stuff like that, and just try to, you know, make it happen. But it just seems like the last couple of years with calls and as busy as we've been, and we're busier this year than we've ever been. I've been out here, and the guys have been out here for hours and stuff, and it's nonstop. I made 3 or 4 different calls today that are going out on top of some other stuff I've got, and I've got probably, you know, 13, 14 to do in the next couple of days. And, you know, trying to get ahead enough to where we can spend that time out there and everything. But, man, we'd always usually just meet up and, you know, just try to enjoy it. And when we got out there, you know, did our hunt, but, you know, afterwards and stuff, we'd celebrate a little bit, but it just seems like the past few years, a lot of the stuff's kind of gotten away from us. So, you know, we're trying to bring that back, especially this year with me going full time with this and everything. We want to have that time. We want to be able to get out and, you know, do more. And that's the objective, is, you know, especially being pre-planning and figuring out everything and just going ahead and getting everything done a little earlier. And it's hard, especially when you got orders and stuff coming in nonstop, but just go ahead and knock them out. I don't care if it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning, go ahead and get them done. It'll be worth it, you know, and all that, and just try to just bust tail, you know, as much as we could. So.
Talk about your turkey roundup. I wanted to touch on that a little bit. Talk about, you know, this is the first annual one you're going to do. Kind of talk about what it is and what you tend to accomplish on your roundup.
So I kind of just got this idea that there's a couple guys around us that run these turkey rodeos. And essentially what that is, you know, a team will get in and they'll go hunt, and there's a certain, it's like a fishing tournament, you know, they'll go out, come back, check in, team with the biggest NWTF score wins. Well, I didn't really want that kind of pressure. Cause you know, I just more chilled, laid back. For sure. So I was like, well, let's call it a roundup where we just round up everybody who's hunting in the area. And we'll all meet back up at my farm, and we'll just drop tailgates, hang out, drink some beer, and talk about how the day goes. Because whether you show up with a turkey or not, you had a hunting story. So if you can share a hunting story with cold beer and just get everybody together. And, you know, turkey's a lot different than deer. Nobody shares their deer spots. No. Really wants to talk about how their deer are doing things. So, you know, with turkey, I know a lot of boys around here who hunt private. They hunt public. And, you know, we're very blessed with the turkey around here. It's a thick population. So a lot of the guys I know in the area, they do pretty well, and opening day's pretty good. So I was like, man, if we could get everybody together and just drop tailgates, hang out, drink a beer or two, and we'll start something kind of cool to where everybody looks forward to it. Like, hey, man, what are you doing opening day? I don't know, but I'll tell you where I'm going to be at is we're going to hit the roundup. So I was talking to Brett, and I was like, man, I think I'm going to do this. And he was like, let's do it. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get us a logo. I'm going to make some T-shirts, and we'll, you know, we'll do first annual, second annual, and we'll just run it as far as we can. And I sent it out just kind of low-key to, like, my Snapchat, stuff like that. I think I'm at, like, 22 T-shirt orders, you know, just off the logo today. So as it gets closer, more people are going to, you know, trickle in. And it's going to be one of those things where it's like, hey, bring a cooler, bring the turkey, whoever you hunted with, bring them on, you know, let's just have a good time and hang out. And I've got a pretty good area. I'm hoping to get a really cool picture of, you know, just all the guys and just kind of build something that you can look forward to, because you can't really do that with, you know, deer or something like that. So I think if we can get everybody together, I think it'll help the hunt community, you know, kind of build up and get together. And somebody's going to see that that's never turkey hunted and be like, wow, that looks cool. Mm. Like, you know, and then they may come just to hang out. And then before you know it, you know, they're out there chasing turkey. So I'm just trying to accomplish something kind of to get more people into it, you know, because I've killed a lot of birds. I've been fortunate. So I was telling Brett, I was like, man, I don't care at all to kill a bird. Like, I'd rather work one and get it in your lap and see you get excited. Then I'd rather do that. And I think that's kind of what we're going to try to build up with this turkey roundup thing.
It's kind of like a camp, but not everybody was at the camp. It was kind of like, you know, yeah. Back in the day we had check-in stations for deer. If you hit one of them opening day of guns or firearm season or whatever you want to call it, you know, there was 30 trucks out there with everybody's tailgate drop. You know, they weren't necessarily drinking beer in front of the DNR, but there was probably some hidden somewhere. You know what I mean?
You were there 30 extra minutes or a couple hours.
Yeah.
You met a lot of people, especially, you know, back when you had to manually check them out. So with everything being, you know, electronic stuff like that, I think it'd be cool just to, you know, and I'll be honest with you, man. I've had a lot of people kill their first deer and then call me and be like, man, I don't know how to field dress this. I'm like, well, bring it by the house. I've done it for a lot of people. And, right. You know, there's people who turkey hunt that just duck hunt, and they think you breast a turkey out like you do a duck, and that's completely not even the same realm of cuts. So, you know, I tell people, man, if you can get out there and hunt, just get out there and hunt. Be safe. And if you need help with it, come by. Like, I'll field dress your deer for you. You won't say nothing, you know. Like, yeah. I'll teach you how to do it. I still hate doing it. And I don't shoot some deer just because I know the work that's fixing the take. Like, if it's right. Doe day, like, we do a doe day or something. And if it's, like, 30 minutes before dark, I ain't doing it. I don't have enough time. And we got too many coyotes around here. They'll carry me off.
What about out-of-state trips for you, Brandon? Are you hitting any other states besides Georgia for turkeys?
Man, I don't have any plans to. You know, that's something I've never really done. I've always been kind of here in Georgia. And, you know, I guess by the time that I got able to, between becoming a sheriff's deputy there at an early age and stuff and scheduling and all that, it just didn't allow me to get out as, you know, as much and stuff. So, I mean, I've always done it here, and then since, you know, getting into it, and especially with the calls and stuff like that, I've had people, you know, invite and ask and stuff, and I'm like, man, I'd love to, or, you know, I'm busy, or, you know, stuff like that. And I like, it's a huge invite, and I think, you know, maybe next year, you know, it's something I'm really going to start looking into, and locating some land, locating some people and stuff, you know, reaching out and saying, hey, man, you know, we're making work somehow, especially one thing that we're wanting to do more is, you know, get footage and get some good stuff rolling there, you know, as far for business and stuff like that. So that's something it's coming. It's just not been really a priority, I guess you'd say.
You know, that reminds me kind of a question I had wrote down, that I had skipped it earlier. You and your company work with, you know, content creators quite a bit. I think that's one of my favorite things about you. You know, you're not scared to go out on a limb and help somebody out, because, you know, in turn, they're going to help you out as well. Talk about how that's kind of been your approach on getting your name out there a little bit, you know, and working with a lot of these. I mean, me and you work something out. You're with Mid-State Outdoors, a lot of people down south. Like, talk about kind of the people you work with and how all that kind of comes together.
Something I've always you know, prior to this year, I always said, me and the guys have always talked about was, you know, I have a video production background on my grandpa. I'm capable. It's just the time, you know, and, you know, allowing to get, you know, footage and stuff like that. But man, like the first year when people started sending in harvest pictures and videos and stuff, you know, that I was like, man, that's awesome. You mind if I share it? You know, stuff like that. And, you know, I think it made, you know, some of these guys that are just, I don't mean to say just normal Joes out here, but, you know, your guy that, you know, works 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and he goes out on a Saturday morning for a couple hours, kills a bird. And, you know, how many times have you ever been with any type of company, big or small, that you send it to and like, hey man, you mind if we share this, you know, or you mind if we just kind of, you know, it's almost like our trophy wall of, you know, trying to show our appreciation. And just, you know, it shows a little bit of a morale kick for these guys. And, you know, it's something that started with that. And, you know, it was still, it's always a time thing. It's always what it's been with us. But, you know, as we kind of grew and stuff, we had a bunch of people approach us and stuff and talk, and, you know, they've had, you know, either a show or, you know, something that they do with content and such. And, you know, we've talked and stuff, and they're like, man, you need some more videos and stuff. I'm like, man, I need to get away from this, you know, lathe and everything so I could be able to do so. And, you know, one of the things that people have always said, you know, well, let us do some content and stuff for you. And I'm like, well, that'd be good. You know, that helps. And I think the number one saying that, you know, we've always said is let the product take the reins. You know, let everything that we do take the reins, and don't be salespeople. You know, we're not out here to be salesmen. We're not out here to be, you know, the barber that tells you need a haircut. but it's, you know, it's, we have products, and when people get them, we let those people sit there and do the marketing for us, because that's what you're more concerned about than, you know, getting all this promotional type stuff. We're more in, you know, in tune and in key with every single person that buys calls. You know, we've got a logbook. I've got logbooks of calls that's went out with serial numbers and stuff, and, you know, certain ones and numbers. And I've got, you know, like online orders and stuff that's got people's names and phone numbers and information. And I may randomly send you a text and say, hey, this is Brandon with Desperado. How's your season going? And, you know, are you enjoying your call? And how's it working for you? And boy, it throws people off. You know, somebody to, you know, kind of, you know, shoot that to you. But, you know, we try to reach out and be personable. And, you know, like, we're not big on doing like TikTok. We're not big on Instagram and stuff like that. We have a Facebook page, we have a website, and, you know, word of mouth and stuff. And it's worked extremely well for us. And then, you know, like being on TikTok, posting some videos, you know, we enjoy it. We're, you know, we're guys too. And then we meet people like, you know, Zach and them with Midstate, and then you, then, you know, I met Dylan through you and stuff. We talked on the phone the other day, and some of the guys down south here, we got Southern Bones and Deer's Last Ride. There's two guys from South Alabama. They're both in public safety, Ryan Early and John Smith. They're great guys. And man, they just love to film their stuff, and they like to use stuff that works. And for them to, you know, give us that review, and, you know, it's, and everybody that we've ran into has not said, hey, we want just free stuff. You know, that's something, that's a whole nother thing that we, you know, we run into all the time with a bunch of young kids. It's just always what we can do for you type thing, you know, and it's a heavily screened, you know, process on that. But, you know, we want to support these guys as much as we can, like y'all, and, you know, give y'all the cutting edge of, you know, what we can do. And man, y'all are out here hunting and doing y'all's thing, and y'all are showing our stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's good enough for me. You know, it's another step. It's a building block. We never want to be out pulled to where we can't keep up. We just want to keep it building and let these people, you know, see, hey, we're not here to push nothing on you. If you buy a call, you buy a call. If you don't, you don't. There's plenty of other great call makers out there. Probably do a lot of calls a lot cheaper and stuff, but we stick with, you know, consistency. We stick with our integrity, and we all these people that we have been great to us. You know, they've harvested multiple multiple animals, you know, across the board with everything we do. And if it gives them the cutting edge and gives them better content, they're in key, going to, you know, return the favor and stuff. And that's what, you know, we really push is trying to make sure that everybody's took care of. You know, I rub your back, you rub my back type thing, but we still have, you know, a lot of good relationships, and that's what we want to stick with. And it's worked really well.
Well, hopefully in about 3 weeks, me and Dylan really kick this thing off, and we have about 4 gobblers down in 2 days, and definitely going to be running the old Desperado Pinhoti custom. I can't freaking wait, man.
Yeah, man, I was hesitant to let y'all have them calls, and they left out us. Y'all's in mid-state both. I was like, man, you know, it seems like every call, and I'll do this for the rest of my life, and I tell all the guys too, you know, I can be on the lathe for 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, I'm going to know something different, you know, and we try to just continue that improvement. And once we have that improvement, we stay consistent with it till something else improves. And this year we had, you know, made some changes earlier in the season, preseason, you know, when we started making them, that I had some ideas from last year, and y'all got some of the first runs of them. And boy, I'm telling you what, when I got them things put together, boy, it turned my head. I said, man, I don't even know what to say. These things are great. You know, I was excited for y'all to get them. I was excited for y'all to, you know, be able to get out there and utilize that for y'all, you know, in y'all's harvest and stuff.
For sure. I was jealous of, I can't remember who had it. I think Aaron Clark had it, but with the copper. Oh my God, dude. When I struck that thing up, I turned to him and said, can I buy this off of you? Or like, it created a whole nother sound that was just so much vastly different than a slate or a glass. I was really kind of blown away by the sound that it made. I'm going to do some sound files coming up for our socials with your calls. And I told him, you need to bring us back over because I want to show them the difference in between the slate, the glass, and the copper, because they all have unique sounds, and they are, I mean, it's, uh-huh. I've been turkey hunting for a long time, and they sound great.
You know, that's, you know, when people start wanting and, you know, suggesting different types of calls, they may have used, you know, a copper call their whole life, or they may have used a slate call, or they may want that change. There's going to be minor differences, of course, in, you know, what's underneath and how we create, but it's going to, you know, sit there and, you know, take form of what that's going to tone wise produce on that sound or on that that playing surface. And, you know, if you built those calls identical and use that playing surface, they may not sound as good when you get those different surfaces and stuff. So you kind of have to morph that into what you have existing and being consistent with. And, you know, copper and slate and copper and glass, man, that's two totally different animals. It's just like, you know, you put a slate in glass or slate over slate, but, you know, with that copper, and y'all wanted that copper over slate, I was like, man, I don't know, this is going to be kind of a different, you know, different animal here. And so I made a few changes, and I think if you look, you may can still see it, but if you go on there, I'm pretty sure there should be an H and an L, which is my lingo for a couple of things on that soundboard, still written on the coin of that call. And there's two differences in there, and you could probably put them side by side and tell and see what it is, and you can tell me. But there's definitely going to be an H and an L on that. That was something I have wrote down in my black book over here that kind of tells me a little bit of difference. And man, I remember putting them side by side, and I was like, yeah, I can tell. You know, maybe nobody else will, but I definitely can tell. So copper is a different animal, and I really enjoyed building those calls for y'all, and I really enjoyed sitting there and making it a job. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really, really impressive when I opened the box. Of course, we have a Facebook private group between the Blue River bow hunting guys, and I put on there, it was Saturday, I worked Saturday, came home, saw the packages were in front of the garage. I put, calls are here, hit me up when you want yours. Everybody hit me up within like 10 minutes. I said, well, hell, everybody's over here. You might as well just come. You know, everybody's over here drinking beer, and we got these calls out on the table playing. Next thing you know, I got 15 people at my house having a blast drinking beer, playing with turkey calls, watching YouTube videos, and they were all blown away. I mean, some are very beginners when it comes to turkey hunting, and some have been doing it a long time like me, and everybody was blown away by your calls, man. Very impressive.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. It's very humbling. And like I said, when I text you and you got them, my main concern was everybody was happy with them. That's all that matters, is everybody was happy with everything and everything turned out. That's what we want. And I don't care anything else. Just send me a smiley face letting you know you're good, man. That's good enough for me.
For sure, man. Dylan, you got anything before we wrap up?
No, other than just come on up for the roundup, man. You're not that far away. So shoot on up, hang out. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, I got to bring Brett some stuff anyways, and I'll probably have a truckload of stuff. My truck probably squatted pretty good. So, Brett, I hope you got something that'll, you know, carry a good load, because I got y'all a bunch of mineral stuff, Dylan. I'm going to bring you some too. Get y'all some stuff to get took care of and everything.
You have an open invite here anytime you want to come hunt. I mean, we hunt everything. So anytime you want to shoot up, you just let me know. We'll make it work.
Man, I appreciate it. It's awesome. Like I said, we'll definitely have to get together and stuff. Like I said, my schedule this year is definitely going to allow me to get open a little bit more. So I may take you up on that just to get away from the norm of stuff, just to kind of, hey, you may put me on a gobbler. You look over, I'll probably be asleep, just sitting there enjoying my time out. So
the wife's traverse is probably going to be squatted, like you said, on the way back to Indiana. But I'm excited to come down and hunt and in this roundup and everything, and then meet you and talk turkeys and meet everybody that comes to the roundup for that. And you know, I'm pretty excited for turkey season to kick off, man. I still got about 3 more weeks before I head down to Dylan's, but I appreciate everybody listening to us in podcast land, YouTube. Hit us with the like and subscribe. Brandon, where can they find you and Desperado Custom Game Company at?
You can find us on Facebook at Desperado Custom Game Co. Give us a like, give us a follow, man. We try to give away a bunch of stuff. We try to, you know, make stuff worth people's while, and we try to interact. We support as much as we can, and if we can help support anybody as far as sharing content and stuff, we're doing it. We're definitely not going to be stingy with just posting calls and stuff like that. We try to help everybody, and you can find us on our website at desperadogameco.com. We do have TikTok, we do have Instagram. You ain't going to find much there, because we don't do a lot there. We may post a funny video or something every now and again, but that's primarily for us and everything. But our Facebook and our website's where you're going to be, you know, with us the most.
Well, buddy, it's been a blast talking with you. Appreciate you, Dylan, for co-hosting with me. I'm sure I'll have you on again here soon. Everybody, just give us a like and subscribe. It supports our channel, helps us grow more. We'll be back here again next week for episode 80. And if you're out turkey hunting already, good luck to you. And we'll see you again here next week.